Welcome back to 1 Peter. Today's with you for one last chapter, and Peter closes it out with one lesson for elders and one for younger believers. And the lesson for both leaders and followers is humility. Humility is one of the most important lessons you will ever learn. The trouble is, humility is easy to talk about, but it's extremely hard to learn. Now, you might think that this is a change of subject. So far, Peter has focused primarily on teaching us to suffer well by doing right even when the world is wrong. He told us to do justly even in unjust circumstances and respond righteously even to unrighteous authorities. So what's the connection with humility? Everything. In my experience, the best place to learn humility is smack in the middle of a hard trial. And the one thing that will help a family or church to get through those trials without tearing each other apart is, bingo, humility. We begin with the word for leaders. Verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Now, in the world Peter wrote to, elders were generally community members with the age and wisdom to take a leadership role in the community. It was a common term, and early church used the same word to designate elders as leaders in the local churches. Now, church governance and structure is a complex topic worthy of deeper study. But here Peter addresses foundational issues for every church leader, regardless of governance structure. So leaders, listen well. It's worth noting that Peter appeals as a fellow elder rather than commands you as your apostle and boss. Peter doesn't lead that way, and he doesn't want us to either. He also reminds us that he is a witness of Christ's suffering. That's intriguing. Peter wants us to know that Jesus' suffering transformed the way he sees leadership, and it should change us. And Peter sums up that change in two words: be shepherds, not rulers, not lorded over autocrats, not here. Be shepherds of God's flock. The people in your church belong to God. You are accountable for them. You do not own them. God could have chosen the word captain or commander to designate leaders in the church, but he chose shepherd. It's a humble word. No status or nobility to be found in it. Nobody aspired to become a shepherd to impress anyone. Above all, being a shepherd was about caring for a flock. First rule for shepherds, willingness. As Peter said, we are a free people, and every level of participation in church should be free and not forced. Next up, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. That is a big one. Church leaders, I need you to take it to heart. If you're in this to chase the dollar, then get out. Greed destroys churches. The only thing you should be chasing after is an opportunity to serve. And one more in verse 3. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Peter learned this one from the Lord himself. Do not lord it over. And Jesus drove it home for Peter after he failed miserably in his attempt at valor and greatness. Jesus restored him to a place of humble leadership. Feed my lambs and tend my sheep. The church should never be an authoritarian community of top-down control. When church leaders become domineering, red flag. Religious cults are built on authoritarian control, but the Bible consistently and explicitly forbids it in church. And cults set aside, the way authority is exercised is crucial in every church and every Christian family. Authority should never be lorded over those entrusted to you. That is a powerful phrase. God trusts you with his kids. Break that trust and you are in serious trouble. Peter doesn't want us leading by decree. He wants us leading by example. In verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And Peter sets all of us under shepherds in our place by reminding us just who the chief shepherd is. You serve him, and the only rewards and the only glory you should be chasing are the ones that come from him. Just like chapter 1, Peter wants us focused on the stuff that endures and the crown that never fades. Word for elders done, Peter turns in verse 5 to younger believers. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. One simple word for you younger, submit. Let your leaders and elders lead and follow their lead as team players. Now let's be clear. Peter is calling for voluntary submission from a free people. Do not confuse this with forced submission. That's called subjugation, and Peter just declared it to be unbiblical and ungodly. The reason why people bristle at the word submit in the Bible is that it's abused by authoritarian church leaders. Don't put up with it. Biblical submission is not blind obedience. It is a voluntary act of deference taken by free people out of respect for God, respect for one another, and respect for the leadership structures that bind the community together. And the key to make all of this work is humility. Elders, lead humbly. Younger believers, follow humbly. And in verse 5, all of you clothe yourselves in humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. You might recognize that quote from Proverbs 3 and from James 4. That lesson is wisdom 101. Walk in pride, and you set yourself up on the opposing side of God's battle lines. He opposes you. Doesn't matter if you're in the pew or the pulpit, God still opposes the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. You get bonus help that you don't deserve just for staying humble. Now that phrase, clothe yourself in humility, that's interesting. The Greek word was used for the way a worker would tuck in garments into an apron to prepare for work. In other words, humility is how we suit up to work together. That goes for young and old, follower and leader. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Now, verse 7 backs off a bit. Peter recognizes that all the trials and all the humbling take a toll on you. So he softens up and offers a beautiful encouragement. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Peter is quoting the 55th Psalm. All those anxieties and cares that pull you down and stress you out, just cast them. The word there literally means throw. And all doesn't mean one at a time. It means take the whole lot of them and huck it all. Put it all on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. How amazing is that truth? God Almighty, the only one who could possibly handle all of your anxiety, cares about you. He thinks you're worth dying for. Trust him. Now, before you shut your eyes and ask Jesus to take the wheel, verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Trust God, but pay attention. You need to be ready to follow his direction. Why? God's got you, but the devil's after you. Back in verse 8, your enemy, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now that's sobering. The devil is on the prowl, looking to devour. How does this fit in the chapter? Think about it. What is the devil looking for? What makes a good target? Pride in leaders, rebellion in followers, disunity, anxieties that you just won't trust to God. They're all targets, weaknesses to exploit. Be alert. The danger is great, but your defense is greater. Verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You're not alone. You're in it together, and you're in it with God. And Peter closes it all out by reminding us that the battle is temporary. The suffering is temporary. God's glory is eternal. His plan for you is forever. Verse 10, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And that's it. God gets the power. Not you, not me. Our only path to glory is humility. Peter adds a few personal notes, some greetings from fellow leaders. I love the personal stuff in the epistles. It really grounds the word in our shared humanity. And Peter sends us off in verse 14. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. And that's 1 Peter, suffering well. Fight wrong, do right. Overcome evil with good. Leave sin. Love deeply. Stop acting surprised and let the trials humble you. Lead humbly, follow humbly. Read chapter 5 and I'll meet you back here for Peter's second letter.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word.